Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
In Nehemiah 12:44-47, on that day, men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, together into them the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites, according to the fields of the town. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered, and they performed the service of their God and the service of the purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his sons and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the daily portions of the singers for the singers and the gatekeepers, and they set apart for which was for the Levites, and the Levites set apart that which was for the sons of Aaron. In Romans 8, verse 15 to 17, which reads, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children and their heirs, the heir of God follows fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him."
Let's all bow our heads in prayer, everybody. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come into your word and just discover who you are. And in the discovery of who you are, we discover who we are. And so, God, we come before you and ask that your Holy Spirit will be with us as we unpack your word today. We thank you, Lord, that it's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, we will encounter you powerfully, Lord God. So meet us in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. So today we're in the series called Owned. And we're looking at how God builds in our lives. And I'm going to take you through a few of the aspects of what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. But let me give you the title of today's message. And again, this one has got quite a lot of Bible in it. And I hope, because we've got family feed after this, I'm hungry already. So I'm ready to eat the Word of God and feed and feast on it. And so I really want to invite you to take notes, because I really believe that if you don't take notes, a lot of it will go in one ear and out the other. Because I really believe that a lot of what God is going to show you today, not because I'm teaching it, but because I really believe the Holy Spirit's going to reveal some truths that you may want to unpack further, whether it's with your life group or with one another. But please do, let's steward the Word of God well this morning. So the title of my message is Sons and Servants. We're going to talk about ownership and servitude. Sons and servants. Let me ask you this question that we asked at the top of this series. And the question is, what are you building with your life? What are you building with your life? If you pause your life for just a moment right now and ask yourself, what are you building with your life? With every single day that passes by, what is it that you are building? When we looked at how God builds over the last few weeks, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God builds. And there's three aspects as to how he builds. And we looked at them through scripture. You can get them in the podcast. And the way that God builds, here they are, is God builds revelationally. Everybody say revelationally. Relationally. And then generationally. Okay, let me break those things down. Revelationally, as we've been looking at the person of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, for those of you who don't know, Nehemiah lived during the time of the kingdom of Israel when they had been sent into exile. He was the wine taster for the king of Babylon. And he heard news that his hometown of Jerusalem had been torn apart, had been ravished, and all the walls had been torn apart. So revelationally, he got the heart of God to go back and rebuild. And that's a revelation, right? That God's purpose can only be given to you revelationally. Nehemiah recognized God's heart for Jerusalem, and he saw it more than just a geographical place or space. He saw it as a part of his purpose. So that's revelationally. Then relationally, he gathered a team. How many of you know that God's destiny and purpose for your life is not just for you and you alone? There is no, this is not what we call jam ministries, right? Jesus and me ministries. It's always Jesus and other people, always together. Like, we are called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so we can see that God builds relationally in the way we relate to him and the way we relate to one another. And then generationally, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is the God of the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 3. God is a God of generations. And so when we think about the way that God builds, and I want to encourage you, not just the parents in here, but even my young people in here, even my youth in here, to think about how what you are building is actually going to echo into the next generation. Have you actually given that some thought? That the things that you do today will affect the generations to come. Last week, we talked about the difference between being called as God's builders to be priests and kings. And I used this passage here where we talked about those who came back after they rebuilt Jerusalem. Those who came back were those who ruled as chiefs, those who were the sons of Solomon, who was the king. But then there was also the servants, right? There was also the priests and the Levites. So what you had here was the kings and the priests, or the priests and the kings. And I talked a little bit last week about the role of the priests. The role of the priests was to call those who are outside to come in. And the role of the kings is to take the rule from the inside out. And if you look at the way that God has designed the church, God has designed the church to be, and the Greek word for church is ekklesia. If you grew up like a Samoan like me, you'll know that the Samoan word comes from the Greek word, ekklesia. Ekklesia means the called out ones. So it's not that this is the church, just us gathering, but there's also a scattering that happens. We're not just called to gather and just be Christians while we're around other Christians, but we're also called to gather so that we can be equipped and empowered to go and scatter and change the world that God has called us to. So there's the priestly role of let us invite people into his presence, but there's also the kingship role of let's go out and rule the way that God has called us to rule, representing him as ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, right? Well, let me go back to this passage that we kind of landed on last week, just to kind of set it up for where we're going. Because what you'll notice here in the second and third paragraphs is that the most repeated word there is not just kings or priests or rulers and priests and Levites, but how many of you noticed a certain word that's underlined many times there? Sons. Sons. And what this is speaking of is, again, generations. The way that God builds is through generations. He speaks through servants and sons. How many of you know the most famous verse in the Bible? It's not Austin, it's John 3:16, right? For God so loved. I always jokingly say it's like a girl from the Los Angeles Valley, right? It's like, so loved the world. God so loved the world that he didn't just love the world. He so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son. So the way that he builds, the cornerstone of the church, and by church, I'm not talking about this building, but the church is the body of Christ. If you are in here today and you are a follower of Jesus, you are a part of the church. But the cornerstone of what he builds in your life and in our lives together is Jesus. He is the foundation, the firm foundation, as we always see. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So God builds through sons. Now, sons doesn't mean here gender specific. We're all called the bride of Christ, right? As male and female, we're all called the bride of Christ. So let's just, what he's trying to get at here is there's a specific motive that he wants us to be attentive to as to how God builds. He wants us to build as sons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not die or perish, but have eternal life. Romans, the passage that Edwina read, For you did not receive the spirit of slavery or servanthood. The Greek alludes to that. It's not the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption as sons. It's all right. It's not a trick question. You can read it. Adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba Father. So we approach God not just as master, but there's a deeper relationship that he's calling us into. It's the relationship as a son or a child to the Father. How many of you are excited that God has called you out of just being a servant? You're not just an employee of God. You're called into his parenthood. You are a son. You are a daughter of the living God. And he gives you the right to call him Abba Father. Creator of this universe is your daddy. So no matter what you face in life, I'm here to tell you today that you can look that circumstance, you can look that situation for all my young people in here that are still going through exams. You can look that exam in the face and go, who's your daddy? Right? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. We inherit. There is an inheritance that God has given you, right? Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We don't like that part. Oh, suffering. Yeah, I like all the promises. Yes, I'm an heir. I've got an inheritance. I'm a son. But, oh, there's a suffering. Oh, no, I'm not cool with that. What we're going to get at here is there's a certain posture. There's a difference between being a son and a servant. And what I want to show you is all from Scripture. So I need you to check this out. We're going to hammer this home with many more scriptures here. In Hebrews, check this out. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in God's house. So Jesus is faithful. How many of you know, we studied Moses earlier this year. Moses also was faithful, right? They're faithful. But I want you to see the difference here. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Ooh. As much more glory as the builder, remember we're talking about how God builds, of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Ooh, interesting, right? And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Let me tell you. There's nothing wrong with being a servant. Servants served, and sons serve. But what's the difference? There's a motive. There's a posture that's different. I've told you about the time that I observed at a restaurant, right, that I was eating at, and I saw there was one guy who was like cleaning the window, and he was cleaning it quite vigorously, right? He was going for it, right? Just cleaning. And then there was his friend. And the reason why I noticed it, because his friend was just kind of like doing this and on his phone with the other hand, you know, just kind of casually not cleaning, not really there. And I was just like, started giggling to myself. Like, man, look at that guy. He's really going for it. And I remember the waiter telling me, oh, that's because that's the son of the owner, the one that's really cleaning. And the difference is, right, like the other guy's just employed, right? The difference is because he knows this restaurant is my restaurant. I own it. There's a difference in posture. There's a difference between if you're a servant and you just go for a paycheck, you know, you're just going to do whatever is the bare minimum. You're serving, but your posture is different. Now, that's not to say that Moses was a bad window cleaner. Moses, I know we're going to meet you one day. But I honor you and honor your faithfulness as a servant of God. But God is really calling us all into sonship. And again, I want to reiterate, when I talk about sons, I'm not talking about gender specific. okay, because I'm going to be saying son a lot. But what I am saying is there's a posture, there's a motive that God is calling us into to take ownership and stewardship of what he's called us to. Let's carry on. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his what? His son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. There it is again, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. Turn to somebody, encourage them today. You're no longer a slave, but you are a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. You are an heir. You have an inheritance in God. See, sons build, servants serve. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to begin to show you the differences between being a son and a servant. I'm going to take them all from Scripture, and then hopefully it'll help you to see whether you are building as a son or a servant. See, the difference is that, one of the differences is that sons will initiate, right? They're always looking out for others to build alongside them. Servants will just serve. They'll do what they're told, but that'll be all they'll do. You know, they'll see a piece of rubbish on the ground, they go, it's not my job. You know, this is in my job description. So I won't go the extra mile. I'm not talking about just here at the church, but in your workplace. You know, one of the things I remember as a child growing up, my mom used to watch me just walk past a piece of rubbish and go, oh, who do you expect? That was always her line. Who do you expect to pick up that from the ground? And then she would always say this to me, I'm not your servant, which is true, right? It'd usually be accompanied by some correction, of which I will not expand on. But I'm just here to tell you today that, you know, if you really take ownership of the house, it's your house. The way you carry yourself around that house, it doesn't require any instruction. You initiate, you use initiative, whether it's, you know, like taking a hold of what God is building in this church. And I really want to encourage you, like, if this is the house that God's called you to build, let's build as sons. If you're visiting from another church, then my encouragement to you is serve as a son in that church that God has called you to be. But wherever he's called you to be, serve and get in there and take the posture of a son, not just a servant. Right? Like, for instance, how many of you in this room are parents? Parents? Okay. Some of you are like down here, not sure. It's like, I have some offspring, but the way they acted this morning, I don't know if they're mine. They belong to my spouse. But like, as parents, right, are we just, you know, like, are we just parenting or are we building our children? See, there's a difference in the posture. You know, are we the sorts of parents that are actually going to build our children up in the legacy and in the ways that God's called them to be? God's called them to walk in. So that means we take a proactive posture in terms of how we see them grow. Their exposure to things, right? We groom them, we help them to grow and be released in everything that God has for them. Because if we don't do it, TikTok will do it. Or Instagram will do it. Or YouTube will do it. It always saddens me when people will expect, you know, stick their kid in front of a TV and expect Bluey to disciple them. Now, I like Bluey, right? My kids are too old for Bluey, but I was telling Mikey, I'm the one that's the Bluey fan in my household. It's the only thing blue I like. I'm a maroon guy, really. For those of you who are educators in here, right, are you just teaching a class or are you building your kids up? You know, even for those of you who are homeschooling, like my sister May there, you know, like she's building her kids. I see the difference. There's a difference between just running a lesson and actually seeing the way that you teach the lesson as an opportunity to build, right? Are you just working a job or are you building in that job? But Pastor Nelly, you don't understand. I hate my job. I don't want to be there. Well, how many of you know if you're faithful where you are right now, God will entrust you with much greater things? So build where God's called you to build, right? Are you, for my young people in here, if you're on campus at university or if you're at high school or at school, are you just going to class or are you building that life that God has for you as you sit in that class? So these are all the ways. There's a difference in posture. So as we look at this, now faith, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to these things that were spoken later, but God, Christ is faithful of God's house as a son. Here we go. Here's the difference. Okay. Firstly, sons hold the father's heart and the success of the father as their own. Sons hold the father's heart and the success of the father as their own. You know, Luke 16 puts it this way. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? A lot of us, like, if there's, like, I'm really excited about this generation. One of the words that marks this generation is the rise of the entrepreneur. Everybody wants to start a hustle or a side hustle and start to make their own thing, which is exciting, which is good. So that you're seeing a rise in entrepreneurship. How many of you have noticed that in the last 10 to 15 years, a lot of people trying like little projects and selling them on Etsy or whatever and doing little things to try and get little businesses going? I think that's awesome. But one of the greatest things that you can learn is to be faithful in someone else's so that you can learn the character and the skills so that when you are entrusted with your own, you have learned those things and being faithful with somebody else's. That is a characteristic of somebody who has learned to live as a son. Jesus models that for us in the way that he lives out his life, serving and loving the Father. Everything that you see him do is to the glory of the Father because he is the Son. And so the success of his mission is only seen to glorify the Father. So if you are faithful in somebody else's, you'll be entrusted with your own. And you have the character at that point to be able to carry whatever it is that God has for you. Please, brothers and sisters, do not run towards a platform that your character is not ready for. And the best way that you can learn character is to serve faithfully in the vision of somebody else that God has entrusted you to be led by. This is really important. For, like the verse says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Secondly, sons are family-oriented, and servants are issue-oriented. Sons are family-oriented, and servants are issue-oriented. Again, right? That's not my job. I don't need to do that. Why does that have to be that way? No, like, I don't need that. But sons understand this is mine. This is my family. And so we walk together. We build together. This is all a part of how God wants us to build relationally, right? We can't just split the house over specific non-essential issues. And this, unfortunately, is the posture of a lot of servants, is they'll try to split what you're doing over little issues. Have you ever been around, I know not you, but maybe you've got a friend, right, that's been a part of your team, and you're clear on what we're building. Maybe you've been in charge or you're a part of the team, but then there's somebody who has a little bit of issue with whatever it is. And it's a non-essential issue towards what you're building. But they'll use that issue as a catalyst to try and split the team. That's issue orientation. They come in to serve, but only as long as it fits their agenda and not the agenda of the team. Now, here as we build God's church at Every Nation Brisbane, as a part of the body of Christ, we build God's agenda. And we serve the way he has called us to build. But if we're not careful, we'll surround ourselves. And I just want to say this as a leader, be careful to build your team with people that have this type of posture as servants, where they come in, they're gifted, but they're not necessarily sold out for what you're building. One of my mentors, Pastor Sam Webb, would always tell me, Nelly, always build with people that are for your vision and for you relationally. That's really important. That's really important. And because they're for you, they'll also, if they see anything incorrect, they'll find the right way to appeal, not to bring shame to you, but to take you in private and say, hey, Pastor Nelly, I didn't agree with the way that was done. And if I am confident in the way God's called me to build, I'll humble myself to receive that feedback. That's the attitude and posture of a son. A servant will broadcast your stuff all over social media. It's victim mentality sometimes, servants, because they're easily offended because it's not theirs. It's always been those guys over there and me over here. I just wanted to honor, especially those who are at home right now, those who are part of our Melbourne team. Unfortunately, a lot of them got COVID. We took the Holy Spirit. They gave us COVID. All right. I just want to honor our Melbourne team. I'm just kidding, by the way. Shout out to all of our team who took time 2 weeks ago to go down to Melbourne and serve alongside Pastor Larry and Elaine Matsuwaki and the church down there, our Every Nation Melbourne Northeast Church. So they ran this Rise weekend sessions with Pastor Tina, and it was amazing the feedback that we got. But what I love about it, it was their posture was, and I know the posture of my wife as well as the team was, Pastor Larry, however you want us to serve your family, we're here to build what you want to build, what God's put on your mandate. Anytime I get the opportunity when I travel to serve at different churches, it's not about my agenda. It's understanding that, okay, I posture myself to serve that pastor or that leader. I have a specific, sounds like Taken, right? I have a specific set of skills, right? But I know that it's not about my skills. It's whatever I have, I want to serve that pastor to be able to build the vision that God's put in their lives and him and his leadership team's life and him. And so that's the posture I take. It's not me coming in like I've got it all together. And that was the posture of this team. And that was the feedback that I got from Pastor Larry. They were humbled by the way that our team went down there to serve the vision and the heart of the father of the house, which was Pastor Larry. And so that's really important. I think a lot of times I've heard, you know, of ministry teams that come in and they have a rider. Okay, I need to stay in this sort of hotel. I need to fly first class. I need to, like, that's not the posture of a son, to be a burden on the father, but to be a blessing to serve the vision of those that he's there to serve. So it's understanding that wherever God has called you to, I mean, think about the boss that you serve. Think about those who are in charge of your classes. It's like taking that posture of, how can I serve you because you're in that point of leadership as the father or the mother of whatever that organization is. But this is the way that God builds in the kingdom of God. Are you here? I just want to make sure y'all are embracing this. Some of y'all are looking at me like, all right. Sons use the language of family. And servants use individual terminology. Let me say this again. Sons use the language of family, and servants use individual terminology. What do I mean by this? Sons use words like us, our, we. Servants use me, mine, my, or they, them, or him, or her. There's no relational connection there, right? There's no embracing of, I'm a part of this. It's always those guys over there. See, the thing that's scary is that when everything's going right, they know how to use son language. Oh, praise God. You know, like when we see things advance, you know, things moving forward, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm just really, really thankful that we got the victory in that area. And then the moment that trials and tribulations come, oh yeah, I knew they were going to fail. I knew that was going to happen. So watch, you know, one of the ways that you can recognize servants and sons. The difference is, watch the way they speak about other leaders. Watch the way that they talk about others. It's really sad, because then you know that that sort of language can be used when you're not around. I'm sorry that this is one of those real sermons. I hope you're okay with this. Some of you are like looking at it like, Pastor, this is heavy. Now we got to work hard, right, so that we can make the family feed count. That's why I'm just working this. See, what I love about Nehemiah is that he didn't waste time by inviting the enemy, like Tobias and Sanballat and Gershon, into the environment of what he was building. He knew they would disrupt it because they had their own motive as to why they wanted to stop the building. For those of you who don't know, the three names that I just mentioned were the names of these guys that were critiquing the way that Nehemiah was building. And the more that he built, the more the critique came heavy. And you'll notice that attitude and posture from those who are servants. As long as it fits their agenda, that's the danger, right? Because if it doesn't fit their agenda, they will tear whatever you're organizing apart. So be careful how you build. Be careful how, and I'm speaking specifically to those of you who are building teams, who are in charge of building groups and teams around you. It's really important. Sons will always share their hearts. So the language that they use, they'll be open. How are you doing? Fine. No, really, how are you doing? Well, you know, I'm going through this issue, you know, with my marriage. You know, I'm just so angry. If I ran over the dog, I wouldn't care. You know, it's just, this is not real. I'm just using this as an example. Tina, if you're watching, this is not real. I'm just using this as an example. But like, son will always share their hearts with the right people. They don't share it all over the place, but like a son to a father, or a son who walks with other sons, or a daughter who walks with other daughters, find that safe space to be able to share their heart. Why? Because relationship is how God builds, remember? Whereas servants, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine, I'm great. Doing amazing. I know my wife left me yesterday, but we're not going to talk about Bruno. You know, I'm doing great. Doing fine. You know, like, it's always like buttoned up, and it's always like, you know, a little too polished. Like, there's no space for that sharing. And that's why those of you who are called to lead organizations or be leaders where you are, or maybe you're, you know, like Charlotte, the champion over there, like in charge of certain leadership in her school, like when you build teams around your leadership, you've got to be careful that you don't surround yourself with a bunch of people that serve their own agenda, because it's only a matter of time when you hit pressure, then they'll start to talk bad about you and all that sort of stuff. Now, that comes with life, but you'll save yourself a lot if you build the way that God's called you to build, right? Here we go. Sons honor naturally the chain of command. Servants continually need definition of lines or of authority. Is she over me? You know, they're not the sort of person, like, if they see somebody promoted or advanced in your organization, your business, or whatever, they're not the sort of person that celebrates them. I've told this before, but I'll say it again. You know, I love films, and I love to watch the Academy Awards, and I actually think that the best actors on the night are those who are nominated but don't get the award, and the camera always pans to them. And the winner, again, is Meryl Streep for the 13th time, and then they pan to the actress that didn't win it, and she's like... like, oh, Meryl Streep again. You know, I can't believe it. Like, I did such great work. And that's the attitude of a servant. It's like, don't they see how great my work is? And they don't honor the chain of command, right? If a person has been put in charge, then you just gotta trust that, okay, even if you don't like them, that the time will come. You know, just be faithful where God has called you in the now. All right. Does that mean she's in charge? Let me ask you this question. Can you submit to somebody you don't like? Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, I'm looking at him. No, I'm just kidding. I know you love me and I love you. But this is the danger, right? Especially when we bring that mentality into the kingdom of God. Is that I'm not under you, I'm under Jesus. Yeah, you're under Jesus, but Jesus always operates through delegated authority in the earth. You know, it's not just pastors and leaders like myself. It's my honor to serve you as your pastor here. I don't take that lightly as a position that I lord over you. Not that I can, but it's my privilege and honor to serve you as your pastor. But also, you know, there's delegated authority in terms of the police, governmental positions. If you're at school, that teacher that teaches you is a delegated authority. God operates through delegated authority throughout the world. It's funny we can say that to pastors and leaders. I'm not under you, I'm under Jesus. Can you do that to a cop? I'm not under you, I'm under Jesus. You'll be under arrest. That's what you will be, right? See, if you learn to be faithful as a son, your inheritance will come. Be faithful in what God has called you to. Nehemiah 12, verse 44 to 47. Now, I'm going to read this again, but I just want you to notice how the sons are being used to build through Nehemiah. And there was much worship with singing, and they also worshiped God with their finances in order to build the house of the Lord. And you'll notice that in the passage, right? They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. So they took on that day, men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, the tithes, and to gather them the portions required by law for the priests and the Levites according to the fields and the towns. So they took care of God's house as sons. This is the posture of the sons. For long ago in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God and all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel. In the days of Nehemiah, gave daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers. So there were those who were, again, in charge of gathering the people to praise. And then the gatekeepers are those who are called out to serve in the community. So there's a provision for those who call people in. So were the priests and the singers, and then there was a provision for those who were called out. And that's the way that God is building through the sons in Nehemiah. So this is important, noticing how the sons are building, even here in Nehemiah. Those who called to work to build what God is building, even with generations, in creating praise, dominion through the gates, and the priests. See, it was the sons who were building, and those sons were taking care of themselves. Now let's carry on here. This one might be a little rough, so turn to your neighbor and just tell him, okay, brace yourself. This one's a little hard, all right? Sons can handle correction and discipline. Servants are insecure and can't take responsibility. Let me read that again. Sons can handle correction and discipline, and servants are insecure and can't take responsibility. You know, relationships are deeper here, and therefore they can embrace correction. And that's why you got to ask yourself, are you building as a son or are you an independent contractor, right? Okay, brace yourself. This is the Bible here, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Now, if you read the King James Version, the word for illegitimate children is a lot harsher than the ones that are here in the ESV. But if you do not embrace discipline, then you are not sons. Understanding that no matter how hard the correction can come from the Holy Spirit for you is important as a quality of a son or a child of God. If you can't embrace that, if you can't embrace discipleship and having people speak into your life to hold up like Edwina's favorite song, Man in the Mirror, who's holding the mirror up to you and showing you, hey, you got something in your teeth? And if you don't take care of it, you'll be ridiculed even more. You can receive the discipline now, or you can receive the discipline later. There are certain aspects of what I teach my children that if I don't teach it to them, the police will teach it to them in about 10 years. And what we see in terms of crime rates, rising in certain parts of our city is a result generally of those who have never been embraced as sons by fathers and mothers. And so it's my responsibility. And when I talk about fathers and mothers, I'm talking about not just parents, but also the responsibility for us as Christians to disciple the next generation, to help to bring them in line with everything that God has for them. Now, hear me out. I understand completely when we hear the word discipline, because the word disciple and discipline are synonymous, come from the same root word. But when we hear the word discipline sometimes, I mean, let's keep it real. There's a blurred line between discipline and abuse. And I'm not here to say that God is an abusive God. God is not trying to be abusive. He is never abusive to those he calls his sons or his daughters. But what he does, and justifiably so, because he is our Heavenly Father, is he tries to bring us in line as sons to say, no, you don't want to go that route, because if you go that route, it's going to lead towards this. And so in my discipline, I want to help bring you in line with my best, because I know what's best for you, because I'm your daddy. And I know the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha, the beginning, and the end, the Omega. So he knows the end from the beginning. We don't. But some of us shake our fists at God and say, God, you don't know what you're doing, so I'm going to take the wheel. I'm going to reverse Carrie Underwood's song. Nelly, take the wheel. And guess what? Every time I'm going to be going in the wrong direction. When will we begin to trust God to take the wheel and to discipline us so that we can be brought in line with his will and his purpose? Last point, all right? You can breathe now. This one's a bit more fun. Sons have puppy feet. You can see their potential. And servants come fully grown. You can't add to them, they add to you. Let me read that one more time. Sons have puppy feet. You can see their potential. Servants have come fully grown. You can't add to them, they'll add to you. Okay. Now, I've told this story before, so for those of you who've heard this story before, I just think I can't emphasize this point without telling this story again. Okay? So back in 2018, I was completing my second year in my master's degree at Wheaton College in Chicago. So I'm there with my classmates. Now, unfortunately, the summer school period was during August, and August is the month of my eldest daughter's, Nazareth's, birthday. And so, because I was away for her birthday, my wife called me. She was like, Nelly, your kids are really sad that you're not around. And Nazareth is, you know, she's really missing you. And, you know, what she really wants is a dog. And you're not here. And I'm having to handle these three kids for 3 weeks because you're not here. Not to make you feel guilty or anything, but because you're not here, these three kids are without their father. And what would make them really happy is if they had a dog. I know I've been asking you for a dog for the last, at that time, 14 years of marriage. And I know you've not been open to it, but I just, you know, I just want to sow the seed that I just hope that God will begin to open your heart towards a dog. Because if you take the word dog and you reverse it, it's God. So I'm not going to say anything. Just put that in there as a seed. And so that day I said, you know, like, guilt vibes, right? The next day was Nazareth's birthday. But anyway, I said, you know, let me just pray on it. And I don't know whether it was because of the lack of sleep, because of assignments and classes and that sort of thing. But the next day she called. She said, so, have you had time to think about it? And I was like, chill, girl. It's only been 8 hours, man. Come on. And I said, you know what? I have. And I really feel like God has opened my heart. You can go choose a dog, and you know, then you know, I'm sure within a week you'll have the dog at home. Within 30 minutes on Facebook, this picture went up. 30 minutes later, and yes, that background is my deck. She had the dog already. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So my wife had such strong faith in God and in her husband that she went and got the dog anyway. She was just waiting for me to catch up. But what you'll notice about this dog, I don't know if you can see it quite clearly, but the dog's name is Redemption. So if you come to my house, we call it Dempsey for short. But the dog's paws are quite huge. And as you can see, there's just a puppy. But now the dog is like, you remember Jurassic Park when the dinosaurs were walking and then the glasses started shaking? Like you can hear her before you see her because she's huge. And you could see the potential in those feet. And I knew from the moment that I met her when I got back from my classes, I knew that this dog is going to eat me out of house and home. Now, I'm already the parent of three half Samoan children. They're going to eat me out of house and home. But this dog, when I saw its feet, its paws, I was like, this dog is going to be huge. And sure enough, because I saw that potential, the dog is like, poof, poof, poof. And the dog is like our dog is a terrible, yeah, Tina, I said our dog, all right? See, you've been working on me. When it does anything wrong, I say, your dog, servant heart. No, just kidding. But like, I saw its potential. And sons, you can see their potential. They may not come in fully developed. You know, when we want people to be a part of our group, it's like, you know, the way back in primary school when they choose teams, right? They line everybody up and then, oh, I choose Bob because he's 6'8" and he's going to help us on our basketball team. Yeah, 6'8" and only 15 years old, you know. So it's always the last ones that aren't chosen. They're kind of like, that's why whenever people choose teams that way, I'm like, no, don't choose teams that way. And the same can be said for the way that sons are as opposed to servants, is that you shouldn't miss out on those who show potential and show character with that potential, because they will grow into what God has called them to. But if you serve as a son, and you know, like as somebody who's been leading worship and leading worship ministries for over 20 years now, there's always people that want to be a part of your worship team, right? They come in and they sing notes that only Redemption and dogs can hear, but they don't have character. They don't have a life that reflects the glory of God in their private life. And they come in like they're going to add to you. Well, don't you understand? I recorded with this person, or I played with this person, or I can sing this, or I can play like this. And I'm like, that's fine, that's great, but how's your marriage? How's your depth in your prayer life and your worship life when nobody else is looking? Because that's more important to me than the way that you play your chords or you sing or the way that you do business. See, many of us will link up with people based on their profiles. And what you're seeing a lot of what's happening right now, all you have to do is look at crypto companies like FTX and see so much under the surface, because they've come in like, I am already developed. You can't add to me, but I'll add to you. Be careful that we don't take that posture. This is the last verse I'll give you, Psalm 127, and we've used this verse many times, but I felt like this is the way we want to land. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 3. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it will labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb a reward. See, the Lord will guard what is built with sons and not servants. So the question I have to ask you today, for those of you who are watching online, is, are you a son or a servant? looking at that checklist based off of Scripture, would you consider the posture of your heart as a son or a servant? I'm here today to tell you, if you are a servant or you've taken on that mentality, the invitation is for you to come as sons and call Him Abba Father, to be sold out in all that God has called you to take ownership. My challenge and my invitation is for those of you who call Every Nation Brisbane your home, is to also posture yourself as a son in this house. Again, if you're from another church in the city, then please posture yourself as a son there. But don't be a consumer anymore. Be one who will say, I'm called to build this thing. Let's build it together. For those of us who own homes, we know that when we bought our home, there's no such thing as a perfect home. There's such thing as a perfect home for you, but there's no such thing as the perfect home. And if there is a perfect home, it's out of your budget. The price is not perfect, right? I'm here to tell you today, if this is your home, I know it's not perfect, but it's perfect for you, then let's build it together. Are you a son or a servant? And if you are a leader, no matter where you're leading, are you building sons or servants with the people that God's called you to lead? If you're a parent in here, are you building sons, the attitude of sons in the way that you parent your children? Nehemiah built as a son, and he built with sons, and he built a legacy for many sons to come. And we're a part of that legacy in the way that he rebuilt the city. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, this opportunity to come and get into your word as sons and daughters of the living God. I just pray, Lord, I just sense in this room and those who are watching online, there's revelation that's being revealed to us. Yes, with regards to our posture as sons and daughters of the living God and sons and daughters of what you are building. But also, Lord God, I really believe that beyond that, you're also calling us to see who we're building with, that we build with sons and daughters. Those who are heirs according to the promise, those who take ownership, those who will ride through thick and thin, those who will say, we are a part of this. And so God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give us that revelation. Help us to see ourselves as your sons and your daughters in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.